kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I mean, I don't have the coronavirus yet, so I guess I'm all right.
Yet being the keyword.
I mean, they did just shut down school here for three weeks, so we'll see what happens.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we're out until April 6th.
Damn.
Well, the kids have to go. We're recording this on Thursday, blah, blah, blah. Everybody fucking knows, the two people that listen.
they know the schedule. And yeah. One of them's on the show. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Jacob.
Hey.
He ain't listening to this either.
I was hey, yeah, shut up. Yes, I do. I listen to it while I do the tweets. But I was waiting to be introduced. That's why I didn't say anything.
Garbage. Anyway, yeah, we record on Thursday, so that means my kids have to actually go to school on Friday, and then they're out for 3 weeks. But the whole point of it is, like, they're doing 10 NTI days.
So they'll still be, what's NTI?
Stands for non-traditional instruction, which for our county means we do Google Classroom. And all the kids have Google accounts, and they can sign in, and there's, like...
They have internet in your town?
No. This is just, like, your imagination.
Oh, Google Cloud. For you, it's you're sending smoke signals.
Yeah. Their internet is done with cans and string.
That's why I have better internet than all you fuckers.
You do. That's the funny thing.
So the actual clouds are just fat vapes that everyone blows. Okay.
Right here, it's meth smoke.
Same here.
But they basically can get on Google Classroom. They can see all of their teachers. Their teachers are available online during the day from 8 to 3. And if they have questions, they can message a teacher. You can do a chat. You can do a video chat. You can do a phone call with the teacher. You can do a group chat, ever how they want to work it out. And then usually the teacher will have just like some PDF files. You download them, fill in the work, and re-upload it. And it's super easy. Usually, number three manages to always finish hers with like 15 minutes. And it drives me nuts. I'm like, that's your whole class day and you finished it in 15 minutes. But then, like, number one gets pissed because when they have Google Classroom work, it's always more than what they'd actually done if they were in school. Because there has to be, like, at least 80% of the kids have to complete it for the day to count as an actual excuse Google Classroom day. So if they don't complete the work, then they weren't in attendance and it doesn't count. So basically, like, the teachers will give them a shit ton of busy work to prove, oh yeah, we did our part. They were in attendance for our class. And it just pisses number one off. Number two, she doesn't mind. She just does hers. But they do have rules, like, because there are areas in the state, even the bigger cities, where, like, the internet is not as good as it is out here because we get federal grants for it. They have to, like, give the kids 3 days for every NTI day. Once they go back to school, they have 3 days to complete the work and turn it in. So that means we're about to do 10 NTI days in a row. That means that the kids will have the entire month when they go back to have everything turned in.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of once they do go back, it'll be a whole lot of, like, just sitting in class while the kids who didn't do the work finish it. And then number one's going to be even pissier because she's going to be like, I didn't have anything to do all day. She's going to be texting me, I don't have anything to do except play on my Chromebook because nobody else did the work and I was a dumbass and did.
Yeah, that's what Reddit exists for, right?
it was probably blocked at school.
Yeah, they're not allowed on anything like that at school. but it's a... I mean, I don't know. I'm not mad about it. I think it's probably better for them to be out. I'm sitting here rejoicing that my days and nights are about to get fucked up. I like
late nights. More early nights for you. You get
I like late nights better than early mornings. So shit's about to get turned around.
That's good.
Have her bring her Switch with her, Aki said. They're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to take the electronics to school besides her phone. And then she's like, can't be out in class. Unless she's done with her work. And then the teachers are like, well, of course Evelyn's done with her work. Might as well let her do whatever she wants.
Look at you saying a real name on the show.
I know it. Well, at this point, I've played with you guys, and you guys have actually played games with her, so you know her name. And it's just like, well, what's the matter? Everybody, the whole four people that have listened are here right now, including Aki, and y'all have played games with her.
So. Yeah, we have personally listened to her hold back profanity as we fuck up her game.
I don't know if I've ever actually heard her.
Yeah. Yeah, she was.
I've played.
Oh, yeah, because when you played with her, her account was still set to child settings, and she wasn't allowed to talk with anybody that she wasn't already friends with.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. we're friends on there now, but
yeah. So I mean, now she's 16. I let her have a normal account. She can chat, but
and have rights thrown at her.
Yeah, have rights thrown at her whenever she deems appropriate, but. Yes. Her new favorite term is floofin', which is what she says in place of fucking when she's around with me. And I'm like, I have the foulest mouth in all the land, but my daughter has some kind of weird hold up on not cussing around mom. And I just
I don't do it around my mom. I have respect for my parents.
You know, and I think the funny thing about it is that I think I kicked off her foul language streak when she was in eighth grade. She was going to a social, and I wanted her to, like, find a really cool dress that made her happy. And so I told her that it was the one time she was allowed to cuss in my presence. And I said, I want you to come out of the dressing room and tell me this dress kicks ass when it's the one that you want. Because then I knew that it was really one that meant something to her.
No.
and I think she took that as, that's the only time I'll ever be allowed to cuss in front of mom ever. And she did it too, and she was very happy.
She came out, she's like, fuck yeah, mom, this shit's off the hook.
Yeah, I remember her little face, and she was just all red, and she goes, this one kicks ass.
That's adorable.
She's a good egg.
Jacob, how did you get your prom dress?
I didn't go to prom.
He was too busy sucking off in the back alley. Out of school.
Excuse me, I had to pay for college somehow.
And you still didn't go.
I still remember there was one school dance that I went to called Snowball. And go figure, right?
And very topical.
And me and one of the other guys there, we were just really bored there. We didn't have dates. We were just hanging out. We were meeting up with friends, and they all had dates, and we were bored. So we just left and went bowling. He bowled a 289.
Wow.
It was insane. Like, the entire place, because max score in bowling is 300.
Yeah.
If people don't know. So he, all strikes until the 10th frame.
Wow.
And then he fucked up.
You want to hear something funny?
Sure.
David took me to prom.
Okay.
My husband took me to my senior prom.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Because the funny thing was that night when prom was all said and done, and he dropped me back off at my friend's house, and he went home, and I stayed with her, and she said, so are you guys going to get married? And I said, the fuck's wrong with you? What are you, crazy? 19 years later, here we are.
In your face.
She knew something that we did not.
That'll show you, right?
Oh, well.
Anyway, there's a lot of news to talk about. It has been a crazy, crazy week. We're talking about the coronavirus. It is getting kind of scary out in the real world. Events are getting canceled left and right. E3 is done. Mm-hmm. E3 is canceled. You know, on Tuesday before the show, during our pre-show, we mentioned Devolver tweeted out to cancel your E3 plans, and the following morning it was confirmed E3 is done. It is canceled. Thankfully, Microsoft has confirmed that they'll host some kind of online digital event to make up for there not being a press conference. I'm sure Nintendo is going to go through with their direct like they planned as well. I'd be shocked if Sony didn't do something, considering the PS5 is still scheduled for this year. Not related to video games, but the NBA season has been scrapped. The NHL season has been scrapped. The NCAA men's and women's college basketball tournaments have been scrapped.
It's actually, for NCAA, I think it's actually literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, even wrestling and swimming and shit.
It is getting really crazy with this virus. There's a lot of people who, you know, think this is just a big, gigantic joke, but it looks to be like it's going to be something serious that we all need to be prepared for.
I actually had to delete somebody off of Facebook earlier for the first time over coronavirus.
Why? What'd they say?
They were, the initial post was just, does anybody actually know somebody that has it? Which is, you know, I know
somebody that's in quarantine for it.
Innocent enough. But then, like, people were like, no, but, you know, it's, I don't know anybody, but it's also not really, you know, rampant in my area or whatever. And then this chick decided that she was going to go. And it's a shame because it's somebody I've known for like 17 years. We've been in the same mom's groups together.
Damn.
And she just went off on this just wild tangent about how the government had made it up and that it was so that they could control, you know, the markets, and so they could control all of the activities and decide what we do and don't do. It was some kind of New World Order shit, and I was like, woo, girl.
All right.
Bye.
Does the microphone pick up my facepalm?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if it was audible enough.
I was like, I mean, I already knew the chick was, like, super crunchy and anti-vax and stuff. Because, like I said, I've known her for a long ass time. But at least I could accept that she was a tolerable human being until the day. And then I was just like, no, I don't think this friendship is going to work. It's been 16 years. Or 17. Oh, God. Fuck, I'm old. This has been like 17 or 18 years, and I don't think this friendship's going to work. I had to just let that one go.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a serious situation. It's getting kind of, you know, my wife is a nurse, so I'm nervous about this shit. Like, I'm not the healthiest person in the world. I already have a cough in the morning because of post-nasal drip. What if I wake up the one day coughing and hacking and I just die because of it? Like, that would suck. Think of all the people who would be let down at not hearing this show anymore.
All three of us.
I was going to say five, but I mean, Cole, you didn't really have to be that negative. Jeez.
It's single digits, no matter what you're thinking. It's single digits.
Joe, don't worry. If the worst comes to pass, you know, I'll take my family and Ashley and we'll move to Utah. And, you know, she will become my second wife where it's legal there.
I thought you were going to say you wanted all my Ashley, video games she can first.
Come to Redneck Land and be safe from Jacob.
No. I'm not going to move to Redneck Land. I mean, first off, you know, I'm registered Democrat. And I want
So am I.
All right, that's fair, but I'd also like my vote to count, so.
I like to pretend that
I'm going to move to Utah where it definitely won't.
I like to pretend I'm doing a little bit of good every time I go in. I'm just like, I canceled out one of them.
Not enough.
I mean, David counts two, so technically between the two of us, we're knocking out two. There's only 40-some-odd people in our town.
Doc Havoc saying that it's good luck finding any kind of sanitizing items at Walmart. They're getting looted to fuck. Ashley said that our Walmart was. Jesus Christ.
No.
Oh, God damn it, Jacob.
What? It's clean. Technically.
And delicious.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's see. The Nintendo PlayStation console sold at auction for a whopping $360,000. It is believed to be the only unit in existence.
That's nuts.
Is it the only one, or is it the only working one?
From what I know and what I understand, it is the only one known to exist. There were apparently 200 that were created as prototypes, and the others were all destroyed, and this one was found in, like, some former Sony higher-up's personal belongings.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, I mean, I know the story behind, like, the father-son duo that have it, or had it, but I wasn't sure if it was the only working one, or if it was the only one, period, dot.
To knowledge, it's the only one, period. So, yeah, that is in someone's personal collection. They're apparently working to create a museum. I think it's the owner of Pets.com is the guy who won it.
Oh, that's right. I do remember hearing about, like, the proposed, like, video gaming museum.
Yeah. Which would be awesome if it happened.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where you...
Can you play the games in the gaming museum?
Well, ideally you would. I mean, the Smithsonian had a huge exhibit about video games once, and, like, part of the point of it was that you were able to play, I think, almost every single game there in one form or another.
That's pretty cool. The stuff I miss living in fucking Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, did you see GameStop is trying to make some moves to try and turn themselves around? They appointed Reggie Fils-Aimé to their board of directors.
Should I know who that is?
Are you fucking serious?
Of Nintendo, Reggie?
Yeah, like, damn.
Like, Reggie from Nintendo.
Yeah, he was...
don't mean a damn thing to me.
he was, like, the CEO of Nintendo of America.
How do you not know who the fuck Reggie is? Why are you, like, on this show?
I haven't bought a Nintendo, like, game system since the original Nintendo, and I even know who Reggie is.
I don't know what you were thinking when you let me be on this show, honestly.
Oh, my God.
All right, to be fair, I agree with Cole's statement right there.
See, I'm agreeable.
Art Meeker, Reggie, the big guy, the only guy you would have seen. I know nothing about Nintendo, and I still know that, for fuck's sake. See, even Aki is shitting all over you with this one.
Aki shits all over me all the time, and 95% of the time, she's wrong. She just happened to, you know, blind squirrel finding a nut right now is all.
Oh, my Lord. But former Walmart CEO Bill Simon and current PetSmart president and CEO J.K. Simanchik were both added to the board of directors as well. So it looks like GameStop is trying to turn their fortunes around and hopefully not fail this year. That'd be fun.
Well, I think, I mean, they're trying to do a bunch of stuff. And I don't remember if I had posted it to the Facebook page or not, because, I mean, that's usually where I post all the news articles I find, because I can't, for whatever reason, Twitter won't let me do the same. Like, it only lets one person be an owner of a account at a time. One of the things that GameStop is trying out right now is, like, almost like, I mean, like how we used to have, like, internet cafes, they're actually trying to do kind of like console cafes. And so you're going to be able to go in there and, like, sit down and play, like, on a PlayStation or an Xbox One, and you just rent out, like, that little space for, like, however many dollars per hour or whatever, and they'll sell drinks and snacks to you and stuff like that.
I think that's one thing GameStop needs to do, is, like, get drinks and snacks in there. I'm not talking, like, hot dogs and popcorn, but, like, bags of chips, bottles of soda. You can do shit like that.
Right. And I think that's part of the point of, like, these cafe, like, console cafes that they're going to try out. Because they also wanted to make it, like a social area. And it's supposed to be, like, a not... I mean, they will still have, like, a Funko wall, and they still will have, you know, video games for sale and stuff like that. But it's going to be more of a no-pressure environment.
yeah, sure. I'll believe that one when they actually roll out.
Well, I think, that's, GameStop knows people hate it. And so it's just like, I think that they're finally worried enough about, their lifespan that they're willing to be like, oh shit, maybe we should actually, hold off on that. And it's just like, it's a pretty smart idea. I mean, that they're at least willing to try this. For a PlayStation 4, there aren't that many exclusives that I'm like, oh shit, maybe I should get a PS4 over this. Like, I'll be honest, there's literally nothing. But to rent out, and sit down every once in a while and, play Journey for PS3 or something like that, for, 3 hours at a time, while my kids are at school. Yeah, I'd be down for something like that, as long as, everyone else bathes.
That's going to be the problem, bathing.
Yeah, that's true. Because you are going to have a bunch of crusty-ass nerds. Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll sell deodorant there, too.
We can only hope.
You can lead a nerd to deodorant, but you can't make them not stink.
It's true. But, the fact that they're willing to try this, it's leagues above, what Blockbuster and Circuit City and stuff like that. They just assume, people will always buy from us and stuff like that. Nobody's ever going to flock to Amazon, or nobody's going to flock to Netflix. And even Barnes & Noble did this a couple of years ago. They actually opened up a chain of restaurants. It's I think there's 5 of them total. So obviously it's a very small chain, but it's a hybrid bookstore and restaurant. And the restaurants do actually serve alcohol. And from what I understand, the food's actually pretty good, and it's, it's actually a decent model, but it's nothing that Barnes & Noble can roll out full time, but they're going to leave them go. Going back to the whole thing with GameStop, my thing with it is that I feel like it would just be, if it proves to be successful and GameStop wants to roll more and more of them out, I could see it meaning that they'd have to close a bunch of them. Because,
well, apparently they're closing the Hazleton Mall GameStop.
Oh.
I was informed of that one, so that's a local one biting the dust. I thought I saw something online where there were rumors GameStop was going to close up to 700 stores, something crazy.
I'll be honest, it's like Subway in some areas. It's just they're stepping on their own feet, And I think that, if they're going to reorganize, first off, close all the ones that are killing their own competition. But, let's say that they do move forward with these, console cafe things. Most of the GameStops that I've ever been in, they couldn't fucking handle a setup like that. They're too damn small.
Mm-hmm.
It's a friggin' closet. They'd have to move into something bigger, at least 2 times the size of it. And so to make that happen, they'd have to close a bunch of their stores.
They would have to move locations. They would have to renovate.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, the Hazleton Mall store was huge, and it would be perfect to test out a location like that. But instead, they're shutting it down and they're keeping the one over by Walmart, which is, a tiny closet store.
Yeah. But the thing is that malls, first off, malls are dying.
Yeah.
And also, it's just so not only are they dying, but also just they're trying to jack up the rent. I won't say who on the podcast. If you want to look me up on Facebook, you'll find out immediately anyway. But I work for a retail company, and one of the things that I do IT for them. And one of the things that we do is we constantly have to deal with relocations and opening and closings of new stores. And I could tell you, it's just it takes well over a year of planning just to get all this shit, laid out. You have to rent out the space from a mall. And the thing is that first off, the mall has to have the space. And somebody has to be giving up their lease to get on it. You have to hire architects to figure out how the hell you're going to have everything laid out. You have to work with tech companies to make sure everything's going to get laid out. And then you have to, work with everybody else. We've got stores in areas where the internet absolutely sucks amazing amounts of dick. and the thing is, it's because we're stuck with it. Like, there's nobody, like, there's no other game in town, but that retail location is so damn important, we have to stick with them.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that would be an issue that GameStop would have to consider, too. I mean, it's just like, it's just like, there's a lot that's going on with this, and so if they are going to move forward with that whole, like, console cafe thing, like, they're obviously playing the long game on it, so, because, I mean... It would have to be like 2 years of planning just to get everything rolled out. So,
no, I guess we'll see if they last that long.
Right. I don't know if you saw the news today. Modell's is closing.
No.
Yeah. The sporting goods store, they're closing like, I think it's like 300, like all 300 or 700 locations are closing.
Damn. Also, damn, No Time for Games just dropped 42 biddies. George, take it away.
Drop it, bits!
Thank you, George, and thank you, No Time. Thank you for the biddies filling that cup up once again.
This time I stayed silent.
I know, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Cole stayed quiet, too. Cole, what the hell are you doing over there?
Nothing.
What are you playing?
Round Guard.
Is that your new addiction?
I'm gonna have to uninstall. That's all I'm trying to say.
I knew you would get hooked on that one.
Problematic.
We'll get to that later, though. There is some other news, some Sony news. Sony confirmed that Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition will be releasing on Steam this summer.
Yes.
So, Horizon Zero Dawn making the jump to PC.
How many times have I said that Horizon Zero Dawn is the only PlayStation exclusive I give a fuck about missing out on?
A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. Now it's not a problem. Because my shiny new PC is built and we'll be able to run it.
Yeah, your shiny new PC looks insane, by the way.
My shiny new PC is so good. It was far better than I was expecting it to be. And it will, I don't think it'll have any trouble running Horizon Zero Dawn.
Probably not. I think you'll be good. Some more Sony news. Ghosts of Tsushima will be releasing June 26th on the PS4 from Sucker Punch and Sony. So that one finally has a release date. I was expecting it to be later. So It's cool that it's coming out this soon.
Yeah, I was surprised by the release date on that one too.
Jacob, any thoughts on either of those games?
Not really, no.
I know a game you do care about.
Mass Effect?
Super Mega Baseball 3 was announced from our friends at Metalhead Software. Not only was it announced, it is releasing in April for Xbox, Switch, and PlayStation 4. So it is right around the corner.
Oh! And, I mean, you already asked me if I wanted it, so... I'm assuming I'm getting it.
All goes according to if Cole wants it, she gets it.
Oh, come
on. So she's got the power.
That is bullshit. No. No.
You're going to start being nicer to me.
Cole, can I please have the shiny new baseball game that isn't by MLB Advanced Media?
Now you better watch out, because if we get both of them in, you're getting both of them.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I've had to review both of them at the same time, and we all know my preference.
Now we'll see. We'll see.
Wait, did we get asked for... Is there going to be an MLB 21?
Yeah, there is a new one coming
out. Or 20? Oh, there is? Okay, because... Yeah. I thought, like, honestly, with the announcements of MLB The Show having to go multi-platform, I thought MLB was just like, listen, you fucks, we're tired of this shit. Make it multi-platform, because...
Well, that's not until next year at the earliest.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, The Show's not showing up on Xbox this year. Everyone's jumping the gun on that. They think it's going to happen right away. They said 2021 at the earliest.
Dang it.
Yeah.
I still want that.
And a lot of people do. But Super Mega Baseball 3 is on the way. It looks awesome. I am a bit worried because it's priced at $45 this time around.
I wonder what they're doing.
I don't know. I'm sure they're going to have the content to justify it. I mean, their games have been huge.
Yeah.
I just worry if the audience is going to be like, hey, this was a good game at $20. It was a good game at $30. 45 is, I worry that maybe people.
Maybe they're trying to figure out what the actual sweet spot is.
Maybe. Now, if it doesn't do well enough, I'm sure it'll get a price cut. But either way, I'm excited for it. I've been looking forward to a new Super Mega game from Metalhead. So
I am apparently very excited for it as well.
Wait, what do you mean you're apparently excited? I'm going to be so pissed if like you get it. And then like your review is, yeah, it was all right. All right, on to the next game.
I don't even like sports ball. I don't know.
Cole, tell us about it. You know what? I think Jacob might have done a better review of this one. You bitch! I'll fucking kill you! I swear to God, I'll fucking
kill you! Well, no, I won't threaten to kill her. I'll just be sad and have to wait 2 years for it to show up on Xbox Games with Gold.
Oh, my Lord. No time for games with another 42 biddies. Thank you, No Time. George, take it away.
Drop it, bits!
Oh, they are falling so slow again. And half of them are going to miss the cup. This is beautiful. I love watching this. Can you imagine, like, if my computer didn't suck, how quickly and fluidly those would fall?
Like my computer? My Shut computer's up. Not going to suck.
Well, guess you're going to start streaming the show from now on.
Fuck that.
You can start editing. You can start uploading.
I bought that computer so I could draw better dicks.
Oh, my God. All right. Last bit of news I have is that the Phantasy Star Online 2 open beta is going to be starting March 17th on the Xbox One, which is just in time for my birthday on the 18th. So I expect presents from everybody.
We ain't getting you shit.
I kind of figured. Progress will carry over to the full game, which is good. And there is also going to be a Founders Pack available that includes Sonic the Hedgehog outfit and hairstyle, a Sonic and Tails emote, a Knuckles weapon camo, a Sonic mask, inventory expansions, 30 days of premium, various other boosters and bonus items that I'm too lazy to mention. The cost.
I posted an article about it on Facebook, so just read it there.
Yeah, go check that out. Go do actual homework instead of listening to us because you're wasting your time doing that.
Fair.
It is going to cost $59.99, which is basically the cost of a new game anyway, so I'm probably going to look into it. I've been excited about PSO for a long, long time, so I might just jump into this. Plus, people on Reddit worked out the math, and they said that the inventory space alone is mostly worth the price, and that the package total is worth like $130 in value. So $60 isn't that bad. Phantasy Star Online, baby, it's coming. It's almost here. I'm excited.
I don't like how you said it's coming. I don't like how you said that.
My big question is...
Oh, God, it's coming.
It's coming. George.
Wet pancakes.
Wet pancakes, indeed.
Oh, no.
Budget Arcade Podcast saying, I hold up. I thought it was supposed to be free to play. It is free to play. That's just a Founders Pack. So you don't have to worry about any of that. It's just skins. It's in-game premium stuff. It's cosmetics. It's inventory expansions. None of it's required. Phantasy Star Online 2 is still going to be 100% free to play. So no worries there. But that is the news I have. Is there anything else either of you want to talk about, or should we move on to the reviews?
I mean, I got two stories we could quickly discuss.
Let's hear them.
The first one is Lego announced today that they're releasing like a Super Mario set.
Yeah, Tim and I talked about that briefly on the last episode. It's cool that they came out and confirmed it.
Oh, well, fuck you. Jeez.
Yeah. Do you not listen to the... No, I know the answer. Mm-mm. Never mind.
All right, first off, screw you. Second, yes, I do listen, but I didn't get that far into it. Did you also discuss... Did you also discuss the 2001 Chrysler PT Cruiser that's up for sale?
No.
Oh. So one of the PT Cruisers that was used to promote Pokemon Gold and Silver is actually up for sale. If you have $20,000, it is yours. It only has 40,000 miles on it, guys. So
it's about 20K for a 20-year-old PT Cruiser.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's only $1,000 a year.
Honestly, if I had $20,000 to throw around, I would totally buy this. I really would. But I
don't. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's fair. But
if I had $20,000, I would buy a Panasonic Q.
I'm sorry, a what?
A Panasonic Q. It is a Japanese-only release of the GameCube that had a nice mirrored front, and it played DVDs. And it is, like, the coolest-looking console that I think they've ever released, and I want to buy one.
Oh.
Yeah. That's all the story to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Cole, anything you want to talk about?
Nope, I'm good.
You don't want to talk about Call of Duty?
I mean, they released the Battle Royale.
I left that one for you.
Okay. I only played one game of it's all I've had time for this week because Ori exists.
True.
So, I mean, I haven't, like, deep dived into it. I did play the one game. Suda and I were both bitching because it makes you play a tutorial before you can play a game. And I was like, the fuck is this happy horse shit? Like, who hasn't played a battle royale at this point in the world?
I haven't.
Oh, God, get out of here. Jesus, even Joe's played battle royale, and he can't shoot straight to save himself.
Joe smells his own farts.
I assume you do as well.
All right, but he actually enjoys it. That's the thing.
You do too, don't lie.
No. Have you smelled my farts? They are not pleasant.
I've known you for way too long. The answer to that is yes, and I hate you.
That's fair. There isn't much about me that is pleasant, so.
Budget Arcade Podcast, we all smell our own farts. That is true. Unless you have sense
me.
Of smell.
Not me, I don't fart.
That's true. Cole is a woman. She doesn't fart.
She poofs.
Nope. Don't do that either.
She takes mad dumps.
Like a truck.
All right. You ready to get to reviews?
Uh-huh.
All right. Jacob, you're not going first. We have a more important game.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, Jacob.
Yeah, you're sitting
Sit
around
down,
for
be
one.
Quiet.
Wait, what game is more important than mine?
The first game to talk about tonight is called Ori and the Will of the Wisps, developed by Moon Studios, published by Xbox Game Studios, released March 11th on Xbox One and Windows 10 as a Play Anywhere title for $29.99. Game also launched direct to good old Game Pass. The little spirit Ori is no stranger to peril, but it will take more than bravery to reunite a family, heal a broken land, and discover Ori's true destiny. Embark on an all-new adventure in this highly anticipated sequel to the award-winning Ori and the Blind Forest. Cole, you have been raving about this one since I gave you the game.
I finally get to talk about Ori.
Yeah, you're right. I guess this is a tad bit more important than my games.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Cole, tell us about Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Everybody should fucking play this game and love it just as much as I do. And if you don't, there's something fucking wrong with you.
All right, $30, your verdict.
Seriously. Okay. If you're not familiar with the story of Ori, then in Ori and the Blind Forest, there's going to be a spoiler here. If you haven't played that one, close your ears for a second. Ori, never heard of it, Ian says. So if you're not familiar, here's a little bit of a spoiler. It's a Metroidvania platformer where you play as a spirit named Ori, and basically Ori's goal in the first game was to rid the forest of darkness and corruption, as, you know, forest spirits are wont to do. And in doing so, he had to battle with an owl named, I believe it was Kura, was how you pronounced it.
I think so.
At the end, you discover that in ridding the forest of darkness, you actually destroy Kura's nest of eggs. And one egg survives the light. And in Ori 2, Ori and Gumo and Naru from the first game have raised this little owlet. And after it's hatched, they name her Ku. And you are immediately attached to the little feathered fucker. You're just like, oh my god, it's Ku, and it's adorable, and everything's adorable about it, and you love it, but Ku has a problem, and Ku's wing was singed by the light, and she cannot fly.
Aww.
So, Ori finds one of Kura's feathers that, if you played the first game, you know that Ori used it to glide with. It gave Ori the ability to glide. And Gumo attaches the feather to Ku's wing so that she too can fly. This leads us to a few minutes into the game where during a flight, Ori and Ku fly into a thunderstorm and are separated.
Nope, that didn't happen. The game ended right before then for me. I turned it off. Beautiful ending. It was a good 10-minute game. I loved it. There was some brief platforming, and then you flew off into the sunset with a bunch of birds, and that was the end of the game.
That's not how Ori works.
But it's happier that way.
It is happier that way. And I will say, anybody that has played Ori and the Blind Forest immediately knows that as a story, there's a lot of tugging at heartstrings. In the
oh,
game.
Yeah.
And Ori and the Will of the Wisp is no different. And I would definitely recommend that if you are choked up by that first cinematic, you're definitely going to want to keep like some tissues on hand for later on, because this game will fuck your feelings unapologetically. Just every time you think shit's going well, you're going to be crying in a minute.
Oh, and
I'm just like, D came in at one point in the game, and I just had crocodile tears. And he's like, "Fuck's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "It's Ori." And he's like, "You have 20 some odd hours in this game, and every time I see you, you're crying, but you keep telling me you love it, and I don't understand."
Oh my lord.
So that's something to prepare yourself for. Crocodile tears are fake tears though, no time says. No, but also they're just like those big giant water droplet tears that are just pouring, you know? And like, oh, I was full on ugly crying. It was bad. You definitely wanna be prepared for the emotional heartstrings. As a game, it is a Metroidvania. It is a platformer. I will say Ori and the Will of the Wisp is quite a bit more difficult than Ori and the Blind Forest. And I say that as somebody who barely beat Ori and the Blind Forest. Barely.
There were some tough sections in the Blind Forest. Some of those escape sequences, they were brutal to get through.
I didn't think I was ever getting out of that tree in the Blind Forest. But Ori and the Will of the Wisp is dramatically more difficult. It is noticeably more difficult. That said, there are some things that can be done to make it a little easier for you. There is an easy mode. You can play it on easy mode. There is no punishment between playing on easy versus normal. There is an achievement for beating the game on hard. There is an achievement for beating the game without dying. There is an achievement for beating the game in under 4 hours. There is an achievement for beating the game without ever equipping an upgrade shard. Fuck
that. I missed that one already.
Fuck all of those. I would give anything at all if Moon Studios would abandon those fucking achievements. They had them in the first story. They have them again in the second. As soon as I saw them, I started shaking my fist at the sky because I knew I was never going to get this completion. I would love just once to be able to complete Ori. It's never going to happen. Excuse me. However, I was able to beat the game. Took me roughly 22 hours. I was able to beat it, and I beat it with 100% in every section, which is a big goal because Ori and the Will of the Wisp is about 3 times larger than Ori and the Blind Forest.
Damn.
Even just the sprawling size of the map. The moment you open that map, you're like, oh my God, I'm never going to get through this. Thankfully, they are very lenient with the fast travel spots. Fast travel is already there. We didn't have to wait for the definitive edition to get fast travel. They Yay. Learned some lessons. And also, they've removed the soul link aspect that was in Ori and the Blind Forest. So, if you remember, if you've played it, Ori and the Blind Forest did not have a checkpoint system. You had to set your own checkpoint before you started a challenge. And if you were just happy-go-lucky running into the woods, as you are wont to do, you might run into a challenge and get fucked and your soul link be 4 levels behind. Not that that's a personal story or anything. But remembering to set down a soul link was a challenge in and of itself.
Yeah.
So the removal of soul link from Ori and the Will of the Wisp, from an accessibility standpoint, if nothing else, I am incredibly grateful for it because I am very foggy headed and I don't remember extra special shit like that. I assume if I die, I'm going to respawn somewhere relatively close to where I was. And with Soul Link, that wasn't happening. And you would lose huge amounts of progress. Whereas in Ori and the Will of the Wisp, if I died and I fucked up before a challenge, there you go. Hey, you're good. And it puts you right back. And you would be relatively close to where you were. There were only a couple of times where I died and it pushed me back quite a ways. But I think that was because as you progress through the game, the length of the platforming challenges obviously increases as well.
Yeah.
And so if it's to put you at the beginning of it again, it makes sense, even though it's frustrating. You're like, but I was almost there. Just give me a break and spawn me at the end. You know, it makes sense. It's just that if you want to be nitpicky, you can be like, well, damn it. I will say that Ori and the Will of the Wisp, we played it pre-release. I played it pre-release. I don't have a mouse in my pocket. I played it pre-release.
Yeah, I had to wait until Wednesday to pick up my copy from Best Buy, and it was absolutely worth it.
That collector's edition's beautiful, though.
Oh, my God. If you haven't seen the collector's edition, we have an unboxing video up on our channel. So look at that.
Pre-release, there were quite a few bugs. There was some patchiness. The game had some obvious performance issues on the 1S. However, there was a day one patch, and we purposely held the review because I wanted to experience it post-patch to see if they fixed any of that. I have noticed in watching some of my friends play it on the X that they are still having some frame issues. But my later experiences with going back into my game on the S post day one patch have been incredibly smooth, and it was whatever problems I was struggling with the framiness and the crashes, those are long gone. And I am happy to say that they've done a really good job of cleaning that up. And I know that a lot of people took the approach of, well, the embargo's up, I'm going to review it and bitch about the frames.
Yeah.
And
which is why we intentionally held it. We could have reviewed it on our last episode.
Yeah.
Which I think we even mentioned this on the episode, but we wanted to hold it and wait until it was properly ready and put through its launch patch paces and not an unpatched, you know, I don't want to say bug machine, but something with bugs and glitches that were obviously addressed already.
Yeah.
So it's not fair to hold that against the game. It's addressed. It's fixed.
Yeah, I wanted, and the reason I bring that up is because I know people are going to hear me talking about it and then say, well, she didn't mention that it was buggy and she's just, you know, jumping on Microsoft stick because she wants more free games. Because that's what people say about shit like that. And it's not that I'm ignoring that those bugs were there. I experienced them. They were there. That sucked. But none of them broke the game in any way that I couldn't play it to completion. And then they were patched.
Yeah.
And now as it stands on release, it's perfectly reasonable to go into it, even on a 1S. I was hoping number one was going to have time to play it. We were also expecting school to get canceled earlier this week. So I was hoping she was going to have time to play it before we did the review this today. Unfortunately, she did not because I wanted to see how it ran on her. She has the OG Xbox still.
Mm.
And I was curious to see if her experience was any different than mine. Because I know there are a handful of people out there still running the fatties.
Yeah.
like us. But... I didn't get a chance to do that, sadly. But I think the progress that was made, even just from the pre-release version that I played to the day one patch to where the game currently stands, shows a lot of promise for Moon Studios to keep patching whatever few little bugs may crop up here and there, whatever framey issues people might run into. From console to console, it seems to me like they're very dedicated in smoothing that out and making sure that the game it runs as well as it looks.
Yeah.
Because
oh my god, this game is
it's beautiful.
It's breathtakingly gorgeous. It is just stunningly beautiful to look at.
When I first launched it, I just kind of sat and stared and I just kept going, it's so pretty. It's so pretty. And I said that as somebody who was playing on an S, I'm not even playing in 4K. I cannot imagine how pretty it could even be because I'm just like flabbergasted by how pretty it is. And every time I would go into an area, I said I had 22 hours in the game. And that's because I spent a lot of time just looking to see how Ori interacted with the world around him. So much detail. It's easy to say, oh, this game is pretty on the surface. And it is. Don't get me wrong. But there is so much attention to detail that makes it beautiful. When there is a sequence where Ori is holding a torch at the very beginning, as you're moving through the woods with that torch, even the background is properly illuminated by the glow of the flame. It's a detail that if it wasn't there,
you wouldn't notice.
Miss it. But it is there, and it just sets the tone for what you should expect when you're looking at the game. And it's a tone they carry through the entire experience. Oh, if you're swinging around Ori's energy sword, that's going to cause the breeze off of that moves the fucking mushrooms in the background. They thought of everything. One other thing that I want to dote on Ori and the Will of the Wisps for is the way that they made the world feel more alive. The original Ori, not a lot of dialogue, not a lot of characters to interact with. Most of the story was just kind of spoon-fed to you. And there is that, like, narrator, you know, story leading as you play through the Will-O-Wisp. But there are also other characters that Ori is going to come into contact with. There are NPCs to talk to. There are side quests they will give you. In the menu, there is a quest tracker, and you can actually go into your map and say, okay, but I'm only interested in finishing out this quest line and help me with that. Or you can narrow it down to see where all of your quests are. You can buy maps of the area, so you're less likely to miss out on your secrets. And like, I was very surprised at how little mop-up I actually had to do. By the time I got to the final boss, I had already collected everything there was to collect.
Nice.
And I was just like, I was so prepared to be like, oh, I'm going to have to go back and do this. I'm going to have to go back and do that. And I was like, I genuinely got to the spirit well before the final boss. And I was looking over the map. I was like, I don't know if Ori and the Will of the Wisp is going to have a point of no return. Or if it's going to alert me to that, because the first game had a point of no return. You beat that final boss, your game save was gone. That was that. There was no mop up.
No. Plus there were missable stuff in the dungeons in the first game, where once you escaped from a dungeon, you couldn't go back in. So if there was a collectible that you missed, you were SOL.
Right. So the only missables that are in Ori and the Will of the Wisp are a couple of achievements pertaining to the bosses. But since you have to do more than one playthrough anyway, you can do backup saves and kind of save scam. If I had thought about it, I would have done it when I did my initial playthrough, because I missed one. I missed one boss achievement, and I could have done it. I didn't do a backup save. And now I have to play the whole game again to get back to it.
That'll teach you.
But at least they went out of their way to make backup saves and fast travel and secrets maps and everything very easy for you to track down. There's even a shard that's an upgrade that shows you, it makes secret walls transparent so you can see the glow.
Nice.
Or there's one that makes an audible sound for when you're close to a secret. So, I mean, they went out of their way to make it possible for you to find those secrets very easily.
Well, it's been all praise. Do you have any negatives about the game?
Was I supposed to? This is my game of the year contender. If I get, like, nothing, I don't think anything else coming out this year could possibly top Ori for me.
We still have a new console with some launch titles coming, so there might be something good.
If Hellblade 2 comes out this holiday, that will probably be as close as we get to topping Ori. But as it stands right now, there is nothing on the table that could even make me think Ori would be second. I loved it. It was worth the wait. It is worth the money. It is worth the time. I don't give a fuck about Last of Us 2 Root Beer. That's on PlayStation. I hope everybody plays Ori, and I hope they love it even just half as much as I did. And that I think even if you just get halfway to where I'm at with this game, then you had a good time with it.
Yeah, I'm still early in the game, so I can't really comment on it too much, but I am absolutely loving what I'm playing. It is beautiful. The soundtrack is phenomenal. And like I said, it ended 10 minutes in when they went flying.
That was it. Not it. You got some time.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called MX Nitro Unleashed, developed by Saber Interactive and Mad Dog Games, published by Mad Dog Games, released February 27th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and Steam for $9.99. Owners of the original MX Nitro can upgrade to the full MX Nitro Unleashed with a free download. Unfortunately, your save files do not carry over to the new game. MX Nitro Unleashed invites you to blaze into motocross racing nirvana. MX Nitro Unleashed expands upon the original MX Nitro with new tracks, new bases, new bosses and new outfits. The game also includes several improvements from the original, including improved visuals from rider textures to the water and a new easy difficulty mode. Jacob, tell us about MX Nitro Unleashed. Jacob?
Hey.
You there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I had the wrong button pushed on my headset.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. This happens at least like once every like 3 months. Well, I turned it off like during Cole's review because like I didn't like want to, you know, breathe too hard and accidentally interrupt her. And then like halfway through, I realized I didn't know which way it was supposed to be. So like during the review, like I'm very lightly touching my mic, trying to see if I can hear it. And like,
oh my God.
And like, I'm trying to not make it obvious. Like, and I'm like making these sounds like, oh yeah. Like, you know, during it, like, see if anybody's just like, oh yeah, Jacob, like, what do you think about that? Like, and nobody says anything. And I'm like, and I did it like with the button in both positions, and so at some point you're just going to hear randomly, yeah. So great.
So anyway, how's MX Nitro Unleashed?
So I didn't play it when it first came out, and like, you know, I watched the footage, and I'm just like, okay, so it's Trials with a racing aspect, which is not correct at all. If you're going to go in here expecting like a game similar to Trials, you will be highly disappointed. And to be honest, I was still kind of disappointed once I figured out what kind of game I actually was playing. So pretty much it's just you're riding your dirt bike, and you start off with like, you know, minimal stuff, and you have to race your way through all like these different races, and you can take on people, or you can do these kind of like score attack kind of things. But as you're driving on these courses, you can raise, you know, you can earn boost or nitro for your dirt bike by doing various flips and tricks and stuff like that while you're racing. And it's just, you know, there's a level of fun to it. You know, as you're learning different stuff, and it's like, as you move up, within the game and level up, you can learn extra tricks that you could do. And of course, these new tricks will earn you more points, and they will earn you more cash and more nitro, as you go along. But the game, well, first, you know, you already touched on it with your description. If you played the original version, your saves don't carry over. And I know a lot of the early reviews were people who were like, what the crap, why isn't my save working? And then on top of it, a bunch of were also like, why isn't online working for me? And it was kind of weird. You actually have to beat the first boss before online actually unlocks for you. And that's like a good like 4 or 5 races, which I was not expecting. So,
well, I guess it's a good way to ensure that it's, you know, like little kids aren't just jumping right into online and fucking around and ruining the experience.
It's true. Although when I did try to play online, there really wasn't much of an experience. So your mileage may vary, as they say. And the thing is, the game looks nice. It plays decently. It's fun pulling off the tricks and stuff like that. Even though there's an easy mode, the AI is very punishing, and you can have races where you literally have done nothing wrong. Everything seems perfect, but especially with bosses, like, they've just got this rubber band AI where it's just like, you know, it's just like, as I said, you could have done nothing wrong. Everything should point to you getting first place, and that, like, he'll just whiz right by you. And you're just like, what? And it was incredibly frustrating, especially during actually the first boss, where like you haven't had a chance to tinker with your bike, you haven't had a chance to mess with your abilities and stuff like that. And it was just so damn frustrating. I think it actually took me like 10 times just to beat the first boss. And I remember, because early on you can invest in like what your abilities are going to be. And I forget what the heck I had invested in, but it was just like around like the third or fourth time I had lost to the boss, I was just like, shit, like, you know, even though I'm earning all this money, it's not helping me with my abilities. And I was just like, great. Have I already fucked myself over against like the AI, like this early in the game?
No.
And it was just like, no game should should be punishing you this early unless like they just like want you to up and quit and like never play it ever again. And it's just, I don't know. Like, yeah, there's customization options. You can get different bikes, and the different bikes were neat. But, like, you know, outfitting your rider, it's like none of it ever felt like it actually did anything. It was if you wanted a specific look, then I guess that's kind of okay. But, like, yeah. It was all just pure cosmetics. Which, I mean, of course, yeah, I guess it is a sense of realism. But, you know, for something with like is going to have like a level of realism with that, like meanwhile you've got bosses and regular AI who are just, they felt very unfair at times, but also like the physics didn't feel right sometimes. Like I could do insane flips and still manage to right myself for a perfect landing, which I not on like a level of like SSX, you know, snowboarding, like insane kind of tricks, but it was getting there, you know?
No.
I don't know. Like it was okay. you know, it's, I didn't have nearly as bad of a time as I do with like the Monster Energy motocross games where I just plain suck at it. and you're just like, haha, Jacob, we're going to make you review these. But at the same time, like, I didn't have the level of fun that I would with, like, a game like Trials. And it's like, the game, it really straddles, like, halfway between both. And, I don't know, I really wasn't feeling it on either way.
Well, on the bright side, it's only $10, so for that price, what is your verdict?
$10, I'm okay with that price. I'm definitely okay with that price. I kind of feel like it's a try it before you buy it kind of thing. But of course, you have to like play through like a good like 5 races before you can even do anything else in the game. So
yeah,
the game forces you to try it for better or for worse, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, Jacob, always a pleasure having you on. I figure
whoa, we can... Whoa, whoa, whoa,
what?
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
What?
Get him out of here.
No, I'm supposed to be talking about Yakuza.
Okay, you want to talk about Yakuza 0, that's right. You weren't here last week.
Yeah,
you wanted to talk about Yakuza 0. Give us your thoughts on Yakuza 0.
Wait, aren't you going to introduce it?
I don't have the shit written down. I did it last week on the show, remember?
What happened to your stuff? Don't you keep notes?
Yeah, and then when I read them, I delete them to make room for new notes, because if I kept all my notes, I would have infinite notes.
All right, but all right, like, what is, like, your computer only have, like, a 5 megabyte hard drive or something?
Yes.
You realize you're talking about my computer, right?
Cole, give him your old computer.
No.
Please.
I have to give it to David to play Farming Simulator on.
Wait, fine, what?
Yakuza 0, developed by RGG Studio, published by Sega, released, what the hell was the release date?
A few days ago.
Released last week on Xbox One for $19.99, available as part of Xbox Game Pass. We reviewed it last week on the show. Jacob, you weren't here, you wanted to talk about it, so just let's hear. What did you want to say about Yakuza 0?
Alright, so first off, my wife absolutely adores the Yakuza games. It's why we actually have a PS3. Because she literally plays nothing but Yakuza games on it. I don't know why the hell she likes it, but when they announced the Yakuza games for Xbox, I went to Joe and I was just like, holy shit, I need to be the one who gets to review these. Anyway.
So then why did me and Aki end up with it?
Because he wasn't here last week.
Yeah.
Garbage pants.
Anyways, I ended up having to buy it. Which is fine, because it's, holy God, it is totally worth it. So this
was
like
Game Pass, right?
You know what? Shut up. I don't have time for Game Pass. Like, I just don't. I don't.
You could have bought 2 months of Game Pass instead of buying Yakuza. You could have bought 2 months of Game Pass.
You know what? I am happy to support this game.
And then you could have played Ori as well.
That's what really matters.
Anyway, now,
Yakuza's good, too, so tell us your thoughts on Yakuza.
You know, I would love to tell you my thoughts if you'd stop interrupting me.
Who are you again? Where you come from? Do you like rice?
My name's Purnell.
Oh, God. Anyway. Purnell, tell us about Yakuza Zero. Well!
All right.
Oh, shit, I was in the dryer.
Actually, my name's Chris Taylor. Anyway.
That's the case. Your mic isn't working again.
God damn it. All right. Anyway. So, this is actually my very first foray into the Yakuza series. I've never played any of them at all. And so, I've really had no idea what to go, like, what to really expect. Like, my wife had talked about it, but, you know, I've tried to, like, oh, well, you could just play GTA. Isn't that the same? And she's like, no, it's not. And I'm just like, that's ridiculous. Okay, fine. And yeah, holy crap. Yeah, no, it's not. And so you're this like Yakuza guy who, you know, gets framed for murder. And you decide that, you know, well, I'll just get out of the Yakuza and I'll figure out who set me up and all this other kind of stuff. And you are you're thrust into this like wild and wacky, bizarre world. And of course, like there's a plot line of like, you know, you try to like right all the wrongs and stuff like that, but all the side quests and all the shit that you could do in the city is just amazing. Like the side quests make absolutely, I mean, they're ridiculous. Like this little kid gets his video game stolen from him. And so you have to go off and chase like the guy who stole it from him, but then a guy steals it from him and you have to go chase that guy. And then somebody else you know, steals it from that guy. And then you find out it's this like former Yakuza. And then the kid runs up and is like, oh, it's dad. And you're like, what? And then you find out like the dad had tried to steal the game because he wanted to be a better father. And it's just like these melodramatic plots are all throughout the game. And it's just so ridiculous. And I love every fucking second of it. And there's just all this random shit you could do in the city. Like you could play, like, you could go, to a batting cage and play baseball. You can race RC cars. You can like just sit there. Like if you unlock the bottomless pit ability, you can just sit there and eat fucking food all day if you want. Let's see what other crap you could do. Of course you could drink, you could dance, which I still have yet to really figure out how that works. Like I get it, but I don't. Oh God, what were the other activities I was
karaoke.
Doing? I haven't unlocked that yet. I'm like 10 hours.
Why the hell are you even here talking about it if you haven't done karaoke yet?
I've played 10. All right, shut up. All right. Actually, I did do it once and I really fucking flopped at it. But there's color that. Like, you can essentially run cat houses. And there's all this other shit you could do. And then the plot, like, swaps over to another guy. Who my wife is like, oh my God, he's in this game too? That's great. I love this character. And I'm like, okay, he looks like your standard, like, Dynasty Warriors badass, whatever. it's the dude with the eye patch and the long hair, you know, in case you didn't know. Anyway, and he goes off and, like, it embarrasses this customer in, like, the best fashion possible. I was like, oh my God, I see why you love this character. And it's like, he apparently shows up throughout the rest of the series, so it's great. I've played like 10 hours, I think. I'm only like 8% done with the game, according to it, with all the shit I've done. I fucking love it. Like, for me, this is my game of the year contender. I fucking love it. $20? Absolutely. Absolutely. That is a gift for $20.
I don't know if this would qualify as game of the year given its...
Shut up. It's game of the year.
Port of a really old game.
Game of the year. I mean, hell, don't you remember like my discussion for game of the year last year? Like, the only game that I played that topped my game of the year list was One Night Stand. Everything else had been released previously because I'm so far behind the times.
Yeah, we'll give this one to you, I guess.
Whatever. It's going to end up on my list, if not be my game of the year. So.
All right. Well, Jacob, now we're going to let you get going. Thanks, as always, for being here. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
I can't freaking wait for the rest of the Yakuza series to release on Xbox. Like, I think, what is it, 1 and 2 are going to do this summer, I think they said?
Kiwami 1 and Kiwami 2, yeah.
Yeah, that's the summer, right?
I don't think there's any dates, just that they're coming.
Well, I'm excited, so can't wait to play them.
Good stuff.
Is this the part where I leave?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Are you going to kick me off like last time?
I mean, if I have to.
Oh, I mean, I could just stay here and just breathe, really.
All right, so moving on.
Rip.
All right, moving on is the next installment of Bless ML Unleashed. We are going to be chatting about our adventures in Bless Unleashed, developed by NeoWiz Round 8 Studio, published by Bandai Namco, released free-to-play on Xbox One March 12th. They also have Founders Packs available for $19.99, $39.99, or $79.99, and there is a Season Pass that is available for $14.99. Journey across a vibrant, persistent world to take on and survive vicious, lethal monsters that inhabit this untamed landscape. Choose between one of five classic classes, each with its own combo-driven combat experience handcrafted for online play. Gather your party to explore and survive a richly detailed world of dangerous beasts and divine secrets. Cole, did you have any time with Bless this week?
Yeah, and it didn't go well for me.
Tell us about your adventures.
So, most of my time was spent with Ori this week, but I did try to put a little bit of time into Bless Unleashed, and I have discovered that basically everybody has run off and left me as far as level goes, and which is crazy because the game only just launched.
I was in the earlier areas and I saw plenty of like level threes and fours while I was riding through.
I
want to
know where they were because I'm curious about something. I don't know if I had like run into an area where the bosses or where the enemies were just naturally higher leveled. And again, they were still only level 9, or if it works like Division where, it like, balances out.
No, it doesn't.
Based on who's so around, it doesn't do that.
You so walked into an area where that they you were shouldn't at 9.
I mean, and I wasn't even that high, but like there were people around who were like 25, 30, 40, and they were just like one-shotting shit. And I'm standing there going, how am I supposed to level up if I can't even get a shot in? which was part of my problem also when I played last week. But it's just kind of magnified now that there's even more people and they are obscenely higher than me at this point. I find that I kind of struggle getting into games like Bless. If I get into it and I have the help for it and like I can just kind of like level up and hold my own, then I'm fine. But I feel like Bless has kind of just left me floundering and I can't get my footing. There's a whole, the learning curve is kind of steep. I find the button configuration kind of odd and I can't wrap my head around it. And it makes it that much more difficult, which is weird because I mean, I like to champion myself as somebody who plays a whole lot of different genres and I didn't expect to struggle so hard. But I am, and I feel like I can't level up adequately. I'm constantly, you know, either getting bowled over by enemies because they're too high for me or having players come in and just wiping everything out and I don't get shit. So like, there's no middle ground. And I think unfortunately, that's just the way the game is going to be for a little while until like the growing pains. Out.
No.
I mean, either you keep up in an MMO or you don't. And I have found myself in a place where I don't because I'm not that good.
I think your problem is you said that you're running into like level 9 enemies. Just go back a bit. Go where you were. Step back a little bit.
Look for. I had gone that far, and then like. I'm just surrounded. I'm like, okay, wait a second. What the fuck?
Am I just taking a left turn in Albuquerque? It could be one of those situations. I know at the very beginning,
shinies.
At the very beginning of the game is like level 3, level 4 area. If you go across a bridge, it's like level 24. So it's literally, if you take a wrong turn, you can find yourself in over your head. So I would take a step back, go where you were, look for side quests to do. If you haven't picked up every side quest on the map, go back and pick up every side quest on the map, because that's how you're going to get the bulk of your experience early on. I'm kind of like mid game area right now. I just hit level 20 earlier tonight. Hooray for me. But progress has slowed exponentially compared to what it was. Levels are taking a lot longer. There's not as many quests to do. I'm kind of at like the grind stage where I have to grind and I have to kill enemies. I have to do the world events, whether it's like hunting animals or they have special enemies. Like at the very beginning, they have that wolf king that you can kill.
Still never got to kill because everybody else does it first.
Oh, those things are up for at least 15 seconds. You could get one.
All you need
is a hit. But they have monsters like that all through the map, and a lot of times it really just comes down to teleporting from area to area, camping, and just waiting for these monsters or enemies to appear, clear them out, collect your loot box, break everything down, and just work on upgrading your weapons. And I think a problem with this game that I'm running into is there's just too many currencies in the game. There's like, you need, there's artifact shards, there's artifact cores, there's money, there's star seeds, there's like loyalty for different factions that you have their own unique currencies. There's so many different currencies, and it's hard to keep track of what you need, how to use it. And then I also ran into an issue where upgrading your equipment, you have to do it through these crafters. There's a regular one, and then there's a master crafter, where if you go to the regular one and you pay to upgrade your gear, there's a chance it could either fail the upgrade or it could damage the item completely, which isn't a horrible thing, except the repair kits to repair a weapon are like 20,000 star seeds. And when you start off the game, you could spend 1,000 coins to get 1,000 star seeds.
Ew.
So, like, you know, everyone says, oh, well, just go to a master craftsman instead of doing the regular one. The problem is the master craftsman, they charge, instead of just gold to upgrade, they charge star seeds, as well as the artifact cores, as well as money. It's very overwhelming, while at the same time being a little on the underwhelming side, because it doesn't feel like there's enough for me to do besides just wander around, grind, and kill random monsters and hope for more world events to pop up that I can travel to and take those out and just slowly work my way up. I'm at the grind section of the game. I'm having fun with it. I did pick up the season pass for $15. I figure I'm going to at least put another month into this game, at least. I definitely want to play with you. I did a handful of the co-op dungeons this week, which is basically just go into arena and kill an enemy. I'm hoping that later on in the game, there's actual dungeons that you could go through and explore.
Yeah.
It's just, that's going to be something that's why we're reviewing this game in chunks, because it's just such a huge game that we can't talk about it in just 1 week. So hopefully in another month's time, I'll be level 30 and I could check out some of those dungeons, but it all comes down to how well my level progression goes in the next couple of weeks. If it slows down even more, or if things start to pick back up once you hit level 20 and you start, things start going again.
Do you find that you're going to lose interest if it slows down to that kind of extent?
Definitely possible. If I have to just focus on doing the same grinds over and over and over, it could definitely push my patience, and I might end up giving up sooner than I expect, but hopefully I'm still having fun with it. Hopefully it sticks with me for a couple of more weeks, and you know, by then maybe we'll see some new content start to come in. We'll hear some feedback from players now that the game is out to everybody. There's no more pre-release period. The game is out. It's available. So if you want to pick it up and try it, it is free to play. I say try it. It's worth checking out. It's a free to play game. So why wouldn't you give it a go and see if it's something you like?
Yeah, I think a lot of my complaints with it are far more that it's just not suitable for a beginner player like me. It can be very overwhelming. You get lost easily. You find yourself in trouble, and then you're just dead, and you're like, well, what's the point? You know?
Yeah. Well, let's play together.
And I think that's the other thing. I think you have to, like, have the time commitment for this, for Bless. And I...
Oh, it's an MMO. Of course it requires a time commitment.
But I mean, like, I feel like if I could load it up, you know, an hour or so every other day, I should be able to get something done. But I feel like I'm not. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not doing shit. I'm just floundering every time I load it. And then I get anxious about it. And I'm like, oh, fuck, let me go to something else. I have reviews.
Yeah.
And it's very easy for me to just find myself overwhelmed.
Well, maybe with Ori being in your past, maybe Bless will pick up and you'll get the knack and it'll just click for you. Maybe,
or I'll just get so anxious that I'll decide that the Ori speedrun would be easier.
Awesome Prime, thank you for the biddies. Thank you for the 5 biddies, George.
Drop it, bits!
All right, moving on. Next game to talk about is called Round Guard, developed by Wonderbelly Games, published by Wonderbelly Games and the Quantum Astrophysicists Guild. Released March 13th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Round Guard is a bouncy dungeon crawler with pinball physics, lots of loot, and a randomized castle full of oddballs. Press your luck against hordes of dangerously cute monsters and challenging roguelike elements in this all-round bouncy adventure. Cole, you said you were addicted to this one. Are you still playing it?
Yeah, I am very into Round Guard right now. It was nice to pick it up after Ori. Like, I felt like playing Ori, like nothing else was going to satisfy me this week. And I was just going to be like, give me all the Rattalakas so I can get some easy gamer score and feel like I accomplished something, but nothing is going to touch Ori. And I'm not saying that Round Guard is quite Ori level of excitement. But for what it is, I've had a really good time with it. And I think if this were not a week where it was against Ori, I'd be like, this was my favorite game of the week. Fortunately.
What did I say to you when this game first came in, by the way?
You said I was in trouble. And it was very true. And like I said, if this was just not where it was releasing the same week as my game of the year, it would definitely be a lot higher on my list. because I really am enjoying it. It's very Peggle-like, and if anybody knows me, Peggle was my shit. I spent a whole lot of time perfecting Peggle. I completed 1 and 2. Like, I didn't even use the cheese for the challenges like all you other lazy bitches. I did that shit legit. I love Peggle. So, when you tell me Round Guard is like Peggle meets Slay the Spire, I'm like, fucking hand it over. Just go ahead and inject that into my veins. I'm here. And so far, it has not let me down. It is, oddly enough, like Peggle was a dungeon crawler with roguelite elements. When you die, you die. That's it. But instead of being like Peggle, where you pick a master who has a set special ability, there's a few quirks involved here. Because it has the roguelite element, you naturally have 3 classes you can choose from. You can choose the brute, you can choose the rogue, or you can choose the mage, and she gets mad if you call her a mage. You're supposed to call her a wizard, and I just fucked that up. There's like a whole cutscene where she bitches about how mage is an umbrella term and you shouldn't use it. the idea is almost like it's a puppet theater. So it's very cartoonish. It's a little cheesy. It takes a lot of shots at itself and kind of breaks fourth wall here and there. It's very funny, which is great. There are special abilities for each class, but you actually have a couple different options, and they drop like regular power-ups would in a in a dungeon crawler, as opposed to being like how Peggle was, where you got enough score to unlock it or whatever it was. One thing that is different that stands out that makes me just a little sad. One of my favorite things in Peggle was trying to figure out the physics to just get insane combos. I don't know if you remember the bucket map in the first Peggle, but literally Studa and I would stay up 3 or 4 in the morning going back and forth trying to see who could top the other on the bucket over and over and over, because if you hit it just right, you could get like 15, 20 million points.
Jesus.
It was insane. You could clear the whole board, every peg, with one shot.
That's insane.
And we were just the masters at it. We just could do it at the drop of a hat. There are plenty of room setups and round guard that let you get some pretty cool bounces and do some really nice stuff with combos, but there's nothing that lets you get those smooth movements that really give, that test the physics out and let you, you know, go for that whole, clear the whole board in one shot kind of thing. Because everything, that's where the more pinball side of it comes in. Everything is just a round peg. So you have, money pots, and then, there's a scarab that will go from pot to pot every turn to let you rack up more score if you go for it first over anything else. There are red potion bottles, which are for health. There's blue ones for mana. And then eventually you unlock like special potions, which are weakness or immunity, all kinds of different things that can just kind of shake the game up a little bit, because there is a battle element involved that Peggle did not have. and that there are monsters scattered about the board as well with the pots. And each time you hit the monster, you have an attack power that will do a certain amount of damage. That monster has an attack power as well and will damage you in return, unless you're using like a range shot. The rogue, for example, can get a power up that's an arrow, and you can shoot it at enemies as opposed to just going and hitting them head on and taking damage in return. So you can find ways around. You can build up your stats by choosing power ups like weapons and clothing and stuff that lets you evade, for example, so that you don't take those hits. Or you can just like full on tank it and hit the shit out of everything and hope that you hit some health potions along the way. At the bottom of the board, there is a board with a cushion on it that will go back and forth, but the rest of the board is spikes. So if you hit the bottom, you're gonna, and you don't hit the cushion, it's much like the bucket was in Peggle. And if you don't hit the cushion, then you actually lose 5 of your health points. An interesting change in Round Guard versus Peggle too. Peggle had a limited number of balls. Most pinball games do. You can only shoot so many shots before you fail. Mm-hmm. Round Guard just says, nah, if your character still has health, just keep laying into it. Eventually you'll clear it.
Or die.
But I find that most levels have enough potion bottles laying around. And if they don't, there's a relic you can use to make for more potion bottles, but less gold. There's enough laying around that you can keep your health up enough, to survive. That said, It's hard. It is a surprisingly difficult game. I have not made it further than Act 2, which is kind of depressing.
I made it like halfway through the third act, and I went into some room. I don't know what the hell the catch with the room was, but I hit something, and then I bounced, and I hit something else, and then I was dead.
Mm.
I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know, like, if there was some kind of poison or some kind of... I still don't get it. I don't know what the fuck happened.
So the thing for me is that I have no sense of self-preservation. And I will purposely, when I'm going into roguelike games, I will purposely be fairly aggressive with it. As opposed to trying to survive, I'm trying to get through it as fast as I can and get my deaths out of the way so that I get the more permanent upgrades. And then I'm just a beast who blows through everything.
No.
And because you do get permanent upgrades in Roundguard, it's a little more tempting for me to go at it that way. My problem is that I've also just been like flipping back and forth through the characters because I wanted to have a good solid grasp on them for the sake of the review and be able to talk about their differences. Whereas that meant that I wasn't doing what I would normally do if I were just playing it for leisure. I'd be like, okay, no, I'm only going to pick the wizard. Everybody else can get fucked, and I'm not going to play with the other characters until I get the wizard down. So because I was trying to actually give a solid review, I didn't make
sure
it as far.
It's our fault.
Good. Yeah, it's fucking, you just can't let me enjoy a game. You got to make me come on here, talk about it.
So no, you signed up for.
Yeah. God damn it. But I think that as a roguelite and a pinball-ish mashup, it's such a creative game. It's not one I would have thought of. I did mention that it has like Slay the Spire elements, and that's because you get to choose whenever you clear a room. In place of your cushion at the bottom, it comes up with all the spikes go away and it's all cushion, but you'll have, anywhere from 1 to 3 buckets that you can hit. And that's how you decide your path. So like in Slay the Spire, after you cleared a room, you would get your map and you would pick your path. So this is the way that you pick your path in Roundguard, is that it comes up as the buckets, and like it'll have a sign over the bucket as to which kind of room you're going to be going into next. So you can choose, I'm going into a treasure room, or I'm going to go on to the boss, or I'm going to go get fucked by some spiders, because that's a thing that happens. The spider's wearing tutus, so tickle me. And I always go to the spider rooms because I want to see them in the tutus.
Oh, God. Well, spiders and tutus aside, $20 on this one. What do you think of Roundguard?
I think it's solid, and I think I'm going to have to delete it before next week because I am so into it. Like, I just, oh, thank goodness I'm going to have a lot of free time here soon.
Wonderbelly, if you're listening, that is a good thing that she has to delete it. We should point that out. Like,
yeah, that is a sign of approval, because if I'd have to delete a game, that means I can't stop playing it any other way. And I genuinely am going to have to delete it if I'm going to get literally anything else done, or otherwise Roundguard is going to take up all my time.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, next game to talk about is called Baron Fur is Gonna Fly, developed by Dogmelon Games, published by DM Games, released March 4th on Xbox One, Switch, and Steam for $19.99. Thrilling aerial battles for up to 8 pilots in this local multiplayer action game. Choose a pilot and let the battle begin. But wait, your pilots are animals, and their biplanes are loaded with unusual weapons like flamethrowers, stinky fish, and more. Cole, tell us about Baron.
What an odd but incredibly simple little game. There are only a couple of game modes in Baron. It is a local multiplayer type of game, though you can play it by yourself with some bots. It's definitely far more fun if you have somebody else to throw a controller at, though. Still, it's one of those games, it plays well with a younger audience. I think if you're, I wouldn't want to like sit and spend the evening playing it with my husband, if that makes sense. I think we would grow tired of it kind of quickly because it is such a simple concept. But for kids, I think it's a pretty solid way to like get them into physics and maybe some kind of games with more aerial movement. You pick a furry character, not furry in like the horrible porn kind of sense, but as in like you have a dog or a cat. I forget what the other ones are. I like how you face bombed me on that, but I had to specify, because it's the internet these days, and that's important.
True. I'll give you that one.
But yeah, you have to, pick your character, then you get to pick your plane. The planes do have different perks and weaknesses, which I find kind of odd. I don't like in a local multiplayer like this, where you're kind of meant to sit down and play it as a party, where picking a certain type of plane could possibly give you a leg up. It's like, I tend to prefer that everything just play the same, because I have kids and I don't want them fighting. Don't pick that one. That's cheating. That one makes it too easy. You know, I don't like that. Just make them all the same. And also, I didn't feel like there was enough difference when I was in the game playing with the different planes that it didn't make any sense to make a fuss over it. I didn't find that it was as big a deal as it seemed. Like, some of the planes would be like, oh, it's sturdier and it turns better. And some of them would be like, it shoots faster. But when I was actually shooting, I was like, I don't feel like this is shooting any quicker than any other plane. The planes do have power-ups that you can earn. Those are a little odd. That's where the game kind of shits the bed in any hopes of realism with these planes. Like, you can have a cannonball or a freeze. There's a ton of different options that you can choose. It makes for more fun multiplayer gameplay, but as far as like if you're playing against bots and stuff, it just makes it annoying. You're like, stop hitting me with the fucking cannonballs. I keep saying that it's simple because it doesn't have a whole lot of game mode options. It has like a dogfight mode, which is pretty much just a free for all, if you will, where you're trying to knock each other out of the sky as much as possible, which leads to some serious problems with kids. Don't play that mode with them. There is a training mode, which basically is just you, and it's like, okay, shoot this, okay, shoot that. All right, you're done. Bye. take off and capture coins. If I remember correctly, I don't think there was even any shooting in the training mode itself. It was in that was all for the mode against bots that I played. In the training mode, it's just, here's some coins in a cross, collect them all.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, that's nice. Which is good for learning to maneuver the planes, but it's not overwhelmingly difficult. The physics are not realistic in these planes anyway. And then the third mode is supposed to be a horde mode or like a wave-based mode where sheep are flying planes and you have to shoot them down. And that could have been interesting if they had fleshed it out and like had maybe a boss dogfight that you had to go through, or there is eventually like a sheep that flies that's a little better than the others. But most of them just go right to left or left to right and you shoot them down and that's it. I think the first three waves have maybe five sheep total. It's very easy. To the point that even number three was like, why is this so slow? That's, she's seven and she also has no brain to mouth filter. So, I want to say, oh yeah, it's a cool little multiplayer where, you know, you can fly around and get into dogfights without having to like focus on the specifics of actually manning a plane, but it's so simplified that it's hard to say that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it just falls into boring territory very quickly.
What could they do to improve it in your eyes?
I think if there had actually been some difficulty added to it, that would have helped a lot. I would have liked to have seen the wave-based mode with the sheep be a little more schmuppish. I think that would have been pretty cool if you could have had, like, you know, you and three players on the screen together, all with waves of the sheep coming at you. That would have been pretty badass. But instead, it's just like, nope, there goes one sheep, and that's that. That's the wave. Good luck. you know, but just a little more effort into fleshing it out. Have an actual boss fight for the sheep and carry on to where it just gradually gets more and more difficult, instead of just like, well, here's one. Oh, no. There's one. I don't think there was ever more than three on the screen at a time.
Man.
I was like, oh, okay. At that point, you just hit them with the cannonball and it's done.
Well, as it stands, $20 on this one. What do you think?
Oh, no, it's $20.
Yeah.
It's cute, but there's not enough content to justify $20 for this one. I would say if you are really into airplanes and you're really desperate to play with, like, some young kids who aren't very good at games, maybe consider trying it if it's on sale. Maybe. But for most people, it's not going to do anything for you. I'm sorry.
Well, I dabbled with it a little by myself. I couldn't do it too much just because, you know, the cats don't know how to use controllers yet. Yeah, I worry that there's not enough content in there for the price. No. And maybe if there was online, that might have been able to justify the price. But I worry about longevity with it.
Yeah, it's one of those where, like, the kids had fun with it for about 20 minutes, and then it ran its course.
Yeah. All right, well, next game to talk about is called Swordbreaker, the game developed by Ducat's Game Studio, published by Dragius Games. It released March 6th on the Switch for $4.99. In this interactive fiction, you take every action and decision. How your story unfolds and ends is entirely up to you. Some moves can change your karma, and others may lead to the darkest corners of the castle. It is strongly advised to choose your next step carefully, as it might also be your last. Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. Hey, SML Podcast, it's me, Serlina, and this week I've had the pleasure to review Swordbreaker, the game on Nintendo Switch by Ducat's Game Studio. Swordbreaker is a choose-your-own-adventure type game with plenty of illustrations to accompany the text. Your task is to explore the castle and get to the treasury room to obtain this fabled diamond, hopefully without encountering too many nasty baddies that want to do nothing more but kill you, or do they? Let's get to it. First things first, this is essentially a visual novel, so if those kind of games aren't your thing, you probably won't like this one. However, if you're like me and you spent many hours reading choose-your-own-adventure books, flipping through the pages like a possessed banshee to get to the next choice, this is going to be the game for you. The game is surprisingly robust with 333 illustrated scenes. I was completely unprepared and thoroughly pleased at this because I can burn through one of these books in less than an hour these days. Even with that content, the game doesn't feel very long. You can power through a few scenes at a time, save your game, and continue on with the rest of your day. I like having the save option rather than having to sit through an entire session before you could stop. Swordbreaker is your typical choose-your-own-adventure game with a couple of twists. The game keeps track of your actions, whether you're nice, aggressive, or cowardly, and if you're able to reach a certain room, you'll be rewarded for how you've behaved. The second twist is the game expects you to die several times, so it gives you three lives. When you die, and you will die, make no mistake about this, you unlock that death scene and you're teleported back to one scene before it, provided you have a life left. Once all three are depleted, it's game over, time to start from scratch. Of course, you still have your knowledge in any scenes you've unlocked, so next time should be better. The overall game design has a very 80s throwback vibe to it, which is good and bad. The illustration is decent, the story is passable, and the music is very much in line with the overall theme. None of this blew me away, but definitely had me feeling that nostalgia factor. The bad side of that is the older tropes are distasteful. For example, if you choose to enter the castle through the gates, you come upon the ghost of the maid of the castle. She's artfully naked. Why is she naked? No clue, and it's not all that addressed in the game. One of the options is to smack her ass. I did not smack her ass because that's weird and potentially not going to end well. In addition to this, the story's pretty hammy. For some reason, there are necromancers and aliens occupying this castle. Why aren't they constantly fighting each other? How do they make that work? It's never really explained in the game. I also found a typo. I can't really complain about typos given the state of my reviews the SML receives, but in a game where reading is fundamental and you're getting my money for this, typos are an absolute no-no. Still, as a whole, I didn't really mind it at all. It's a bit dated for the times, but it does work. One thing that did not work for me is the map of the castle. I was pretty excited to see that there was a layout. Gives you a decent idea of the areas and what the castle looks like, which is awesome. Still, the map is minuscule, and while you can zoom in and out, checking out the order of the scenes within the map is gross. I almost wish they hadn't included it. Swordbreaker, the game is available on the Switch for $4.99. However, as of this writing, it's on sale for $2.49. Should you buy this? Absolutely, you should if you enjoy this type of game. If you don't, buy anyway because the price point is excellent. It's a decent introduction to visual novels, and you've blown $5 on worse things. Even though I have my minor gripes with the game, I really enjoyed it. All right. Thank you, Serlina, for that review. It sounds like a good one.
Yep.
That all you got to say?
I had to go and save my cat during the review.
Oh, what happened?
He was standing by the bedroom door because he thought, where I was being quiet while you were reading, he thought I'd went to bed without him.
Aww.
And so he was standing there crying. And like I got up and put my head around the corner, and I was like, I didn't go to bed yet, and now he's in here with me. He's happy again.
Well, we're almost done. Only got a couple more reviews. The next one to talk about is called Super Destronaut Land Wars, developed by Petite Games, published by Rattalake Games, released March 10th on PS4 and Vita, 11th on Xbox One, 13th on the Switch for $4.99. Inspired by arcade classics, this new arcade experience mixes a first-person viewpoint with classic invader-style shooting. Together, this unique mashup will test your skills across 30 different challenges. Cole, it's Rattalake. How is it?
Was there another Super Destronaut game?
A while ago. It was like a Space Invaders style game.
Okay, I'm not nuts. I did review this one. Okay, so I don't know why he's crying now. I already told him I'm not in bed. Is my mic picking him up?
A little.
I think he wants to go to bed.
No. No.
It's not time, Gabe. Calm down. Anyway, I did review Super Destronaut. So, I thought that the enemies in Super Destronaut Land Wars was very familiar. The color palette as well, and that would explain why. It's because I've done this. The same Space Invader characters are actually taken out of the 2D plane and brought into a 3D world. So it is a first-person shooter, which is a bit of a switch from the 2D Space Invaders type of game that the original was. But it has all the same, like, bright, vibrant colors. It feels almost kind of Tron-like. There's a whole lot of neon lighting, but the entire environment looks very much like a grid. So it's very black, very minimal details, just with bright colors here and there. Even with your gun, it's just like the silhouette of a gun with the details lined in neon colors. It's pretty cool looking, but it can get a little flashy, and if you have any problems with that, it gets overwhelming pretty quickly. Enemies will spawn in waves around this three-dimensional space. You can walk around, shoot them with your gun. One thing I did run into problem-wise is that it will initiate a rampage mode. I can't figure out what actually activates that rampage mode. But it seemed like it always wanted to do it after I got the first kill, and then there wouldn't be any other enemies around to make use of it on. And the rampage mode gives you a second gun. So you're sitting there akimbo style with, you know, two rocket launchers or two assault rifles or whatever, but it doesn't actually do you any good because there's not any enemies there yet. It was a little frustrating. I was really hoping for the game to have a little more of a difficulty spike to it. I don't know why I thought that would be the case. It's Rattalake. I should have kind of just expected the easiness of aspect of it, I guess. There are quite a few game modes. There are 15 challenges that you need to complete for the achievements for all the challenge modes, but there are actually more challenges beyond that. Yes, I did them. However, they get to be quite repetitive. They're often limited to kill a certain amount of enemies, pick up a certain amount of coins, buy a certain type of weapon, which just results in killing enemies, picking up coins, and buying the weapon with the coins that you picked up. So it's very circular. Like, it doesn't feel like you need to do anything special. It doesn't change the environment in any kind of way. It always looks the same. You are always in the same spot. The enemies are all always the same. It's very, very repetitive very quickly. Which is fine, because you can complete it in under an hour. It's a Rattalaika. Beyond the challenge mode, you have the normal arcade mode, which basically there's an achievement for getting, I think it's 300,000 points in the classic mode. This was what took me the longest to do in the game. And it's not because it's hard to get that many points. It's because I did it. I went past it because I didn't realize I had gone past it. And then I was like, oh, I did it. It should pop the achievement if I back out. So I quit the mode, went back to the menu, and didn't get the achievement. It said zero. You have to die for it to count.
So I had to
go back into it and do it again.
Oh, no.
I just doubled my playtime in this game.
Want to know what else is oh, no? Darksider dropping 21 biddies and making everything go slow again.
Drop it, bits!
And then six more biddies.
Drop it, bits!
Thank you for the biddies. Always thank you for the biddies. It is always good. Super Destronaut Land Wars, $5. What do you think of it?
For $5, I think it's fine. It gets repetitive, but you can knock it out. If you've got like 30 minutes, it's solid. It plays well. I would have liked to have seen some sliders for, you know, sensitivity or whatever, but I might be asking too much for a $5 Rattalaika game.
True.
So for what it was, I'm okay with a fuck it, why not? Get it, knock it out real quick, get you some achievements, call it a day.
It's a Rattalaika.
Yeah.
And more biddies.
Drop it, bits!
Gotta love the biddies. More biddies. 10 more biddies.
They're actually falling into the cup. Oh, now they're bouncing out.
Drop it!
The cup is full.
Yeah, the cup's full, so they're just bouncing and falling out. And everything's going super slow.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Darksider.
The cup overfloweth.
Although, in the little chat log on stream, it says Dark's Elder, so I wonder if it is Dark's Elder. Or Darksider. I don't know.
It's
clarify it with
us. I have decided it's Darksider, and you cannot tell me I am wrong.
Darksider 287 with 8 more biddies.
They're not done.
Bring them on. Bring on all the goddamn biddies.
You're going to be buying a PC like mine before you know it.
Darksider. There we go.
See? I was right.
You're good. You're good at this.
Eternal, always motherfucking right rage.
All right. Well, we'll see if you're right about this next game, because the next game to talk about is called Bunny Parking, developed by Dilly Frame Games, released February 19th on Xbox One for $5.99. Unusual 3D parking puzzle with kicking mechanics. Kicking is fun. Kick a car from the parking lot alone or with friends, and don't think it will be that easy, because we got more biddies falling. Cole, tell us about Bunny Parking.
Sometimes when you see a game that looks bad, you go, fuck it. It could be funny. Not everything has to look like Ori. So Bunny Parking doesn't look like Ori. Bunny Parking is a 3D puzzler where somebody decided that a good gameplay mechanic would be to have a bunny kick a car across a parking lot, but first they've got to kick the other cars out of their way.
Drop it, bitch!
How bunnies kicking cars became a logical thing, I don't know.
I don't know either, but does it work?
No.
Oh.
It doesn't. First off, the game gives you no context whatsoever. It throws you in, says, day one, easy, and then leaves you the fuck alone. Your rabbit hobbles in the worst fucking way I've ever seen.
Drop it back!
I feel like I have come out of the gate being aggressively difficult with this game. It's just not pretty.
You're about as aggressive as Darksider is with the bits.
I feel bad. Do you know? Like, I feel bad shitting on it. But it's bad. It's bad.
I mean,
and
I have to
accept that.
It's never good to have to give a negative review, but, you know, we can't have good games without bad games, and if it's not, you know...
I would like to at least be able to find a positive. Like, I'd like to be able to say, well, at least it's funny, but it's not. Or at least the puzzles are good, but they're not.
Pancakes!
I can't even be like, well, the animation is solid, because it's fucking not. It doesn't even have good lighting. It just exists, and I'm sad about it, because somebody put time and effort into this. They probably bought some kind of program to make it. They probably paid to get it certified, and I'm sorry, but I can't sit here and say, oh, this is funny, or the puzzles are solid, or it's even good for kids, because it doesn't even tell you what fucking buttons to push. Like, it took me forever to realize I was even supposed to kick the car. Like, who the fuck thinks to have a rabbit kick a car to solve a puzzle?
Yeah.
I was like, it's bunny parking. Drive the car. Park the car. Not move the cars in the car park.
No. Well, the one thing the game does have going for it, it is only $6. What do you think for $6?
I think there are better Rattalaika games that are worth it more than even bunny parking. Mm-hmm. And I can't even be like, fuck it. Why? Like, even the achievements are relatively easy. I think Bills has a guy where you can knock it out in like a half hour. And even still, I was so frustrated just trying to like maneuver it and figure out where to go that I was like, even with easy achievements, I just want to go into my gamer tag and hide it and pretend I didn't play it.
Damn.
And I'm sorry for that, but that was genuinely, honestly, where I was just like, what the fuck did I get myself into with this one?
That is a bummer to hear. It looked cute,
sorry.
But unfortunately...
They can't all be winners, and this one definitely was okay standing beside the podium.
Wet pancakes!
Wet pancakes indeed, George.
Sad pancakes.
Sad pancakes.
I genuinely, you know how you made the joke that I was probably puking before the show? I did get anxiety playing bunny parking because I knew I was going to have to say something bad about it, because I couldn't just be like, oh yeah, it's funny or it's great. Like, it just wasn't there. And I was so nervous. I was like, I don't feel good when I have to shit in the game.
It's not fun to give bad reviews. Like, I don't know how other outlets get a kick out of just shitting on games. This is someone's hard work and someone's passion went into this game, and it just didn't turn out the way they probably hoped it would.
And here's the thing. To whoever made it, yeah, I just shit all over it. And I'm sorry for it. I'm being honest, and I think, you know, you deserve honesty about what you create. But that doesn't mean that I think you shouldn't ever make another game, or that you should just be like, well, that sucked. I'm done. You know, learn from it and, you know, do better next time and go, well, okay, that not every idea is going to stick to the wall. Sometimes your spaghetti just isn't cooked yet, and you gotta let it go a little longer and then try to stick it to the wall. But that's just the nature of creative endeavors, and unfortunately this one just wasn't there.
Well, Darksider wants to know if you'll run away with him.
I can't run, Darksider. I walk with a cane.
Will you shuffle slowly away?
I will move at a reasonably paced speed for my abilities with you.
Oh my god. All right. We got
you
one
can't
final
even walk, let alone run.
One final game to talk about tonight. Let's try ending on a high note. This one is called Hidden Through Time, developed and published by Crazy Monkey Studios, released March 12th on Xbox One, Switch, PC, and PS4 for $7.99. embark on a colorful hand-drawn journey of discovery through the ages, from missing dinosaur eggs in the Stone Age to a king's crown in medieval times. Can you find them all? Cole, what is hidden through time?
What a pleasant little gem of a game. See, I don't shit on everything. Hidden through time was one of those where I was like, okay, it's a hidden puzzle, a hidden object game, and I'm down for this. I got this. It's a little simple looking. It's a nice little, like, cyanide and happiness type of art style. Not overwhelming. It's good, you know? Holy fuck, tell me why me and my kids spent 8 hours looking through the... It was like a whole family affair to play this game. It's a single-player game, but we were all just gathered around the TV and, like, just randomly shouting, oh, I found one!
Where's the fucking arrow? Where's the fucking arrow?
Those daggers, though. There was one scene. Okay, so let me lay this out here. Let me set the scene. Each level in the game is a scene. Let's go with the Stone Age, for example, and like you have your little cave people and there's little dinosaurs. That's all well and good. And then you need to like find a banana or find a statue that apparently cavemen knew how to like chisel out statues of dinosaurs and they were adorable. We spent, I bet I sat and stared at that scene for a good 45 minutes. And I was like, for the fucking love of it, I'm never going to find this dinosaur statue. How do you not see a dinosaur statue, right?
Seriously.
Like, it seems like the most obvious thing in a scene that you could, I don't care. Now my rabbit's making racket. It seems like the most obvious thing in a scene that you can't possibly miss. But I could not find it. I gave the controller to David. I was like, find this fucking dinosaur. I went and took a shower. I was like, I'm going to go distract myself for 20 minutes. I'm going to come back. I'll have fresh eyes. I'll find that fucking dinosaur.
You didn't find it.
Couldn't do it. So then the kids come in from school, and I'm like, look, we have a no game on school night rule, but sit your asses down, you're helping me here. Okay? So number three is just all over herself. And she's like, I want to point out, by the way, in our family of five, number three is the only one who doesn't wear glasses. Okay?
Okay.
She's just like randomly walking through the house going, oh, look, I found it. The most random things. And I'm going, I didn't even know we were supposed to be searching for that yet. How'd you find it? You could be moving the cursor around and she'd be like, hey, over there's the banana. Over there's the tiny itty bitty little tangerine. And I'm like, now I see why you don't need glasses, but how did that work out? Because we would all be sitting around this 50-inch TV just staring down these scenes. But back to that goddamn dinosaur statue, okay? So at this point, we were like, I swear I'd looked at it for an hour, hour and a half at this point. I even went to other puzzles, completed them, and come back and still couldn't find the statue. Number one is sitting here all hardcore intense, man. She's like staring it down, hunched over, eyes squinted.
I was playing the game. By the way, Trivium Chat, thank you for the biddies. 50 thank biddies. You thank bits. You so
there's
much.
There's bits everywhere right
they're,
now.
They're individual they're ones, too.
Bits! Go ahead. What were you saying?
Pancakes!
George was saying wet pancakes. But I was playing and... I'm sitting there and I'm looking for a fucking mask because I'm doing this online stage and there's a mask in this football crowd and I can't find it. And I'm sitting there and I'm staring and I'm zooming in and I'm moving around and I give up and I'm just like, fuck this. And I stand up and walk over to the TV and I'm just like hunched over staring at the TV like, where the fuck is this thing? I still can't find the goddamn mask. I don't know where it is.
Do you want to know what happened with the dinosaur statue?
What happened with the dinosaur statue?
So there are things in each level, usually houses. If you click on a house, it cuts it away and you can see the inside. And sometimes there's items you need to find inside the houses. You can click on the little campfires and it'll light them up, or a torch or whatever. It's very cool little interactivity. But most other stuff just kind of, it's most, beyond the houses is typically cosmetic to click on something. Doesn't actually affect anything. Except in that level where the cavemen have the statues in front of them, they're big stone blocks. And I was like, well, that's interesting.
Did you have to chisel one?
You have to chisel them. You have to click on them to chisel them. And you know how we figured it out? Number one did it on accident because she was trying to grab the screen and move it instead of just going to the edge.
That's beautiful.
And she did it and it crumbled and I went, you gotta be fucking with me.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
I spent hours. And it never dawned on me to chisel the stone.
Root beer asking if I was high while I was playing it. You goddamn right I was high while playing it.
You have to be. Because if I am going to complain about anything, I would say that typically in a game like this, you're looking for items. Yeah, you may have one or two small items scattered around that you're going to look for, but most of your items are going to be on the larger side or at least something that you can relatively pick out.
Mm-hmm.
That hidden through time doesn't do that. Everything you're looking for is tiny as sin.
Oh, God, they're so small.
It's the smallest shit ever. It'll be like this little 2-millimeter dagger. And like you are all up on a 55-inch TV humping it with a magnifying glass, like I will find it one of these days.
Spoilers, you won't.
You won't, because you know what they'll do then? Once you figure out like where they typically want to place shit like that, then they start ramping it up in the later levels, and then they start like hiding the blue daggers on the blue stones. And you're like, what did I do to piss you off? Who hurt you?
And the best and part is,
I'm loving this.
The best part about this game is it has online puzzles where people can create their own
online puzzles,
share them. And there's even achievements for completing like fucking 50 of them, which is going to take forever, by the way.
Yeah, but so, worth it.
This game is, it was,
there's no imaginable world where you're like, a hidden object game needs to have online, but they did it and it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy with it.
And this is easily my surprise of the week.
I knew I was going to enjoy it as a hidden object. I mean, fuck, I love Artifacts Monday for a reason, right? And so I was like, yeah, it's hidden object. Of course I want it. Fuck it. Let's go. But then I'm like, why have I spent 2 days straight playing this? And why do I want to spend 2 days more?
Root beer is my jam. Cole, you must create some dick puzzles.
I will. Oh, I hope they don't have any kind of moderation. There will just be meat.
Just make them like phallic shaped instead of full out dicks. Like have a group of people kind of standing in a dick shape.
You know how like when you go to Disney World and stuff, you're supposed to look for the hidden Mickeys because they have little Mickey Mouse silhouettes hidden all over the place?
Mm-hmm.
Every one of my maps is just going to be hidden weenies.
Hidden dicks.
Yep. Find a weenie and, you know, put a smile on your face.
All right. Well, $8 on Hidden Through Time. What do you think of it?
You better motherfucking buy it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's my surprise of the week. I thought it was really charming, really cute. This is like Glass Masquerade. It's like just something really cool and really fun that you didn't know you wanted. But now that it's here, it's really enjoyable. And it's just that surprise that you've been waiting for.
Yeah. It's just one of those that you go, oh, okay, it's just going to be something I play for an hour or so, get all the achievements, call it a quickie, and be out of there. And you're like, no, 6 hours later, you still don't know where that fucking dinosaur statue is unless you listen to me, because I just told you.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
I'm out here doing the Lord's work.
Praise Jeebus. Oh, man. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Thanks again to Jacob for being here, hanging out with us, chatting news. This has been a long one. We haven't had a good 2.5 hour show in a while.
It's true.
Normally, we need a guest to get that long.
Yeah. But then it's partially Jacob's fault because he fucked up his mic.
It is Jacob. It's always Jacob's fault.
All Jacob's
God damn it, Jacob.